welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the NCRA radio stations. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael.
And good morning, Kelly.
Or good afternoon, or good evening.
Wherever we are, right? We actually do get broadcasts across British Columbia, and depending on topic matter, which I hope today's topic matter does get broadcast across Canada.
Let's hope so.
And so today we have special guests with us, Dilbert George Fitzpenfield Anthony. Wow, that's a long name. And he wrote the book, You Got to Have Friends, which is also illustrated by, who isn't with us, Rebecca Daniel Kember. And it's a book about diversity. And let me see if I can read a little bit from off the back of this here. Out of 91 countries traveled, Dilbert was born in Montreal, Canada, and raised by an extended family in Guyana, South America. For 9 challenging years, he met with many family, friends, associates, who he considers friends and family today. And it was during those mid-20s when Dilbert received his diploma in justice administration from the Mount Royal University while simultaneously working as a foster parent. Dilbert, you've done a lot of stuff in your life.
I have.
Yeah.
I have. I'm well diverse in a lot of my lifestyle, from relationships to work. I've fostered over 40 children on my own, and I've traveled to over 100 countries. I wrote this book, as you mentioned, and the book is about friendship. And what I did with the book, I decided to have it illustrated by Rebecca Kember.
Right.
And the illustration really shows the different type of friendship I've had, or the different types of friendship that we do have around the world.
Yeah. Well, just on the front cover, there's people dressed differently, living different, appear to be different lifestyles, in all types of different professions, maybe also. So it doesn't look like you've left any one particular category out.
I have not, and I choose not to, because we are all friends, and the situation is that we're all at this particular book, we're at a dinner party, and the dinner party signifies, from a spiritual point of view, the Last Supper, or dinner parties that we all attend, or dinner functions. And in so doing, there are 12 different type of people, nationalities within there at the table, which signifies the different nationalities around the world. Right. And there's a dog in the bottom, which signifies, when you turn dog, D-O-G, it means G-O-D. So it's the Last Supper with all different nationalities, whatever your religion or spirituality may be, belief system.
Well, if we were to actually go according to teachings of Jesus Christ, who, of course, the famed Last Supper, which was actually a Passover supper representing Judaism, and how God decided to help that particular group of people at the time. One of his teachings was, of course, to accept all.
Exactly.
He didn't leave anyone out.
And it's not only the example of accepting all, but appreciating all. And appreciating all for the diversity within all. Because we're all unique. We all have our own belief systems. And we all have our own cultures, heritage, background, our own issues that we're dealing with. So it's, I believe, and when we did do this book, when I wrote this book, it's about the acceptance of all. Yeah. I may not approve of all things, but I would accept all things. It's the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. You don't have to necessarily accept that something exists. You doesn't mean you have to agree with it, right?
Precisely. And that's where the second part of our book in my team comes in, with the acceptance of diversity, which means we accept all, everything.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So let's get into a bit of a story about what led you, started leading you down this path. It says that you were born in Montreal, and you you grew up in Guyana. How does that work out?
Okay. I come from a very educated family. I would say very educated. My dad, who's passed away, Dr. Anthony, Desmond Anthony, was a very well-known person in North Bay. He taught at Nipissing University in North Bay. But more so, my entire family was very educated. My dad went to McGill University, and whilst he was getting his doctorate, his PhD, I was sent to live with my two aunts and extended family in Guyana for my first 9 years. Born in Montreal, lived in Guyana for 9 years, and then moved back with my parents in North Bay, Ontario, and lived there. And it was very good for me because I look at the positive things that came out of that. I've learned how to live through a strike of food. There was no food. I lived through poverty. But the love and respect and that I receive from my family, my extended family, is priceless. And in so doing, I realized that being rich from within and being rich is more important when we utilize and accept and we give thanks for who we are and what we want to do, and we accept the present situation of being whatever it may be, in poverty or in richness or whatever it is.
Yeah. Right. Right. You're reminding me of something, because I do a lot of camera work.
Yeah.
And I was behind the camera at a economic summit. And it was kind of interesting that, as far as diversity was concerned, the diversity was, in this particular case, everybody who was behind the cameras or pushing the social media, we were all non-Caucasian. Mm-hmm. Everybody who is doing the talking about how they want to end the wealth gap was Caucasian. And at the end of the summit, we all did have a general meeting. Unfortunately, all the recording devices were turned off at this point because now the camera people were allowed to speak. And we all looked at them. We said, this is the same, you guys are coming from a point of, oh, our way is better, your way needs to come to, it's like, but the point was that even though some of these people have missed meals and everything, the richness that they held in their heart was because their family was always together. They went through everything together as a family and as a community.
Exactly. And living in Guyana, the richness that I received from my relatives, from my uncles, my aunts, my cousin, it's priceless. There's no money value that you could put to that. Mm-hmm. Sitting underneath a tambourine tree in Guyana and having a meal or going to church or doing events or skipping with a skipping rope and just being kids,
right,
and doing the simple things, not having a computer, well, or just having the basic lifestyle of living in the present, which is very precious present.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the present, I like to say the present is a present.
Exactly. I always say the past is the past. My present is my precious present, and my future is yet to be revealed. And in living in Guyana, for those 9 years, it was not seeing my parents for a good six to nine years. I used to look up and do a lot of creative visualization, not realize it was like, oh, there's a plane and it's way up high. It's like, someday I'm going to see my parents, somewhere I'm going to be on a plane. But the present of being there and of being in Guyana was just unbelievable. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I lived through strikes. We've had difficulties with the diversity within the country. People were, I don't want to call it a civil war, but it was, because the British were there. There was the blacks against the Indians, and then the mixed races were fighting, uprising here and there, on and off. And so there were times when the British came in, and there were soldiers recently visiting our homes on many occasions. And on one of those occasions, I was had a chat with one of my eldest brother, and he was saying, yeah, do you remember when the soldiers used to come and we used to run underneath the bed because we were thought, oh no, they're going to come and do something to us, but they were there to protect us. So we were dealing like with the British, the diversity with the British, the diversity of being black, the diversity of what's going on, and the diversity of the rich against the poor. So diversity is in a lot of different areas.
Right. Yeah. Diversity and realizing who's there to help versus who's there to harm, it sometimes it becomes a little dicey, a little interesting, because if you go with a preconceived notion, you could wind up on the wrong side of things, so to speak, right? But if you go there completely open, you always will be safe, right?
And I look at diversity as being, everybody's different. We were born with millions and millions of sperm cells, and everybody's sperm cell was different. And we, as individuals, we should be so happy to know that we survived billions of sperm cells to be us. And in so doing, right, we're so diverse. I'm different than you are. My next door neighbor is different. And my neighbors in Guyana are different than the ones in Canada. So the diversity of accepting that is the truth. And when we can accept that diversity, then we can forgive and understand all. We don't have to approve of all, but we can accept all.
Yeah. Now, you said a very important word that most people have a extreme misunderstanding around. Forgive.
There are two pills that I take daily, and I'm addicted to them, and I want the entire world to be addicted to these pills. And one is forgiveness, and the other is gratitude. And if the entire world would take these two pills, then there would be a much better place. I wrote this book, but the book, I give a lot of credit to my book team. And on our team, I do have here with me my...
Yeah, we have my, Peter here. We have to let Peter talk, right?
Yeah, Peter's you've got to have friends, book team leader.
Yeah.
And I'll let Peter introduce himself and tell you how we met. And
go ahead, Peter.
My name is Peter. Me and Delbert, we were both kind of doing similar work. We randomly met... just taking our clients out to the pool. Mine was at the gym, he was with the pool. We became just clicked. We just became good friends, and he started coaching me. He just became a good influence on my life, and a lot of his book and all the messages teaches, like, I value it. I think it's a great message, and I like our project, and yeah, that's
And there are about six different people on our book team, and they're all different where we're different nationalities. We have from small people to big people to tall people to we're all diverse. We're all diverse in our educational skills. Some of us has gone through Hard Knocks College like I have gone through. And I'm glad I have, because the lessons I've learned, they were very diverse, and I've learned to challenge my challenge, to challenge my challenges. And we just accept all.
Right.
And that's what our movement, our book movement, is about, accepting all, being French, being friendly, kind, and accepting diversity worldwide.
Yeah. Okay, so diversity is important, even with our shows and our programming, because while for the most part I'm perfectly abled and all that sort of stuff, I am not designated as a person with disabilities. And I'm going to pick on Kelly here for a second because we work well together, and he is actually listed as a person with a disability.
Known as autism.
Yeah, known as autism. But, you know, it's in being his autism doesn't mean that he's unable to learn any differently than I am. It's just that when he expresses himself, it comes out a little bit differently sometimes.
True.
But that's the same as everybody else, right?
You probably bring some other characteristics that some,
I could tell you a whole list of things that he does way better than I do, and if he wasn't here, part of the show would actually be lacking.
Yeah,
and that's the point of diversity, is we can't be all the things. So we need other people to connect with us, so as a community we become what we're supposed to be.
I look at the word, people say special needs or whatever, put people in different categories. I've got an affirmation, we're all special needs because we all have needs we consider special. And when we look at that, and when we say that, right, we really mean it. Because when I wrote this book, and I said, the reason why I wrote the book, this book is about me, you, or family and friends. I wrote this book to describe and illustrate the physical and mental diversity of all who we consider family and friends. No matter the person, thing, or situation, let's create peaceful friendship throughout the universe. Let's be kind and friendly towards and with all. And our book movement is that, and that's what we stand for.
I love that movement.
Yeah. And our movement, it's about acceptance of diversity and being kind and friendly to and with all, no matter what we're going through. And that's when we do a lot of inner work with my movement, the people on our team, a lot of inner work. And maybe Peter, you could tell some of the work we've just recently done.
We've done we do a lot of like affirmation stuff like that, but we've done like some good silent retreats, and I find that to me has really got me more in tune with myself, and it just gets me more aware. And I think when you're going through your daily routine, a lot of time, a lot of people don't have that time to just be quiet, just be silence. And I think a lot of great things kind of come up on those times, and a lot of emotions or things that you're not dealing with come up. And that was one of the most powerful exercises I've done. And having someone accountable, like to keep me accountable with things. One of those silent retreats is one of the things that really brought up a lot of things, a lot of stuff from your past or things that you have to deal with. And then once you release those things, you can get the greater good that, you know, you want in your life.
Again, we're back to our forgiveness pill. Yeah. He said release things. It's now, that's the whole point behind... For the forgiveness pill is not It's not saying, oh, that's okay, I don't care that you hurt me. It's not that. It's that, it's like, okay, I'm going to let that situation go. I'm going to allow myself to be open so that I can let the situation go, right?
That's exactly kind of what I'm saying,
Mm-hmm. Forgiveness has two parts to it. It's forgiving oneself to begin with, mm-hmm. right? And accepting what has been done that needs to be forgiven, and then letting it go. And people would say over and over again, I forgive, but I will never forgive, and they hang on to that. The only person you're hurting when you don't forgive is yourself.
Right. And so I'm going to hold you up right there because Kelly's going to take us to a break right now.
All right, and we will be back on the Community Living Show. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day. Welcome back to the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association networks across Canada and across British Columbia. And I'll shed it over to my co-host.
Okay. And we're back here with Dilbert and Peter. And their movement is about diversity and about friends and community behind a book named, it's entitled You Got to Have Friends. Now, every time I hear this, I actually do think of a Beatles song.
Buy a little help with our friends.
Yes, right? Exactly. I'm not saying you did one to the other, but it just kind of reminds me of it.
I was going to say something like, you've heard of the Golden Girls song?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yes. Yes. I think it's more along the line of thank you. I was in a 9-year relationship, and in that relationship, I lost 2 houses and a mobile home. And I'm thankful to that person when I was in a relationship with this woman, because the lessons I've learned, I decided to take my anger out, and I wrote a poem, and then in that poem, I have a life coach, T. Crane, who told me, get this poem illustrated. I illustrated the poem with Rebecca Kimber, and the result was this book. So I'm thankful for all the different friendships I've had in making this book. And in the book, what I've done to write is illustrated the different types of characters that I considered friends as I was working with the book, as I was making the books. And most important, people that I considered friends that supported me, that believed in me, that were dream makers and not dream takers, like Peter, like most people in my dream team, are people that have supported me, some family and friends who bought a book or will be buying a book. In so doing, those people were kind and friendly. So friendship is very, very important. I always say I have friends for all reasons and for different seasons.
I kind of get the all reasons, because sometimes the friend leaves because the reason for them being there isn't there anymore. It doesn't mean that they won't come back or anything. It's just that they're not there because their reason for actually being front and center in your life has gone.
And that's so true, because I've had friends, like one of my eldest friends I have now, Terrence Campbell, he's my oldest friend since kindergarten in Guyana. And I've had friends that I no longer want to be friends with because of we've just gone different directions, or there are different circumstances that I choose not to have friends. And you've had friends, Peter, that you're
Yeah, like, you know, people come and go from your life. You're going doing different things. Sometimes you outgrow each other, or like you're the best of friends, and all of a sudden, you know, right. So just yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Friendship. I've done a lot of different talks and whatnot about friendship, and I always say my friendship has no chip, but enough fish to feed the entire world. And when what I'm saying about that, right, is that I will always be friendly and kind towards all with healthy boundaries. I will not be friendly with people that are abusive or that wants me to be in abusive situations. And many people are in those situations. And that's why with this book, we talk about friendships of all kinds, from abuse to addiction to dream makers to people that abuse food, that people that abuse money. We were mm-hmm. in Africa, and it's sad when we see people. I was talking, reading my book and talking at one school in Zimbabwe, and one of the students there, she said, I found out that she had a scar on her face, and I said, what happened to her? And I was told that she was not a very nice person, so she was abused. Mm. And that person is scarred for life. And I said to her, what is your dream? And with tears, and I was choked, as she was saying, she says, I just want to be a nurse. And right. To me, just that friendly moment of just giving that person some acknowledge that person about what is their dreams in a friendly state could make a big difference in someone's life.
Right.
And I think we forget about that. Just saying hello to people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Saying, you know, just hi, acknowledging people.
Well, it's exactly almost the same thing when I went over to Zambia and doing the Habitat for Humanity changed the whole community down there, and everything about it in Zambia was in Lusaka there. The people there were, I know they're not as rich as we are, but making friends over there helps people connect it together through the community and the habitat as well.
You know, when we were in Zimbabwe in Victoria Falls, we were showing our books, and we have pictures on our website, which is you'vegottohavefriends.com.
Right.
And we have groups of grown men we would be reading this book to. And today we're still friends with them.
Yeah.
And we still communicate. And mm-hmm. just that little time that you could take to someone and say, hi, how are you? Or to be kind and friendly, to express a smile,
absolutely.
Right, makes a big difference in the world. It's not about me getting or you getting. It's about us accepting all with community and diversity.
Right.
And you could talk about when we were in Africa, we gave up our hotel and we stayed.
We stayed at an orphanage. We just didn't necessarily like the vibe of the hotel so much. And the guy with the, he was showing around this to the schools and whatnot. And right. He said, yeah, we could stay at his orphanage. And I was like, we really enjoyed the experience there. And the people, the family there, they were very present. We sat at the table, we discussed things. It was just like, right. That's what I find is like they're really rich in that aspect, where they're able to just be present and talk to and listen to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And especially when we do Habitat, we also have to like bring kind of like, I wouldn't say an exchange, but it's more like giving some gifts to the people after the build. So it's more like once we do the build, we give the gifts to the people at the schools, both at the same time.
Friendship is about giving and sharing mm-hmm. and forgiving and accepting and really being kind.
Right.
It's not about getting because you're a friend, or when how many people you have money, oh yeah, I'm a friend, and then after you don't no longer have money, they're gone. I call those people the cash for the dash guy.
Okay. Dash for the cash.
Yeah. I've had friends like that. I've known people are around when you have money and when you're not around. And one of the most spiritual experiences I would say was when we were in Zimbabwe, and it's on our website too. One guy had thousands of dollars of Zimbabwe money, and he was trying to sell them to me, and I'm just saying, some are rich and some are poor. Yeah. And in the book, that's one of the characters, some are rich and some are poor. Mm-hmm. Because being friendly towards that person and knowing that they have money or don't have money doesn't make them a bad person or a bigger person. Money and richness is a tool that we use, but at the same time, our richness is from within. And people that are very materialistic, right, really miss the mark about richful friendship. And they do not accept the diversity. The name-calling, the lack of, I don't understand, educate, and educate ourselves and be present about what is.
Right. It's interesting thing about money. Money is, in of itself, is just a tool, but money can bring you energy or it can drain it. And I grew up around some of the more elite wealthy in the U.S. and Canada, and I saw a lot of addiction, a lot of emotional problems and things like that, and people were like, well, they were rich, they had to be happy. Just some of them were the most miserable people I ever seen in my life. But the point of it was with their money is, in comparison to, I guess it's Richard Branson with Virgin.
Yeah. Virgin Airways.
He just keeps giving away. He doesn't like let that money stay park and stagnate. So it gives him energy, where these people let the money just sit there and stagnate. Yeah. And it started draining the energy away from them.
I'm glad you brought up the topic about money, because one of my favorite affirmations, I'm writing a book about money, and it's going to be illustrated very similar. And I don't want to give the name of the book away. And my affirmation is, money I spend leaves my way, money I circulate returns my way. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple, because when we have money, which is a tool, it makes my life a lot friendlier. There's nothing bad about money. Money is a very good tool. We need money if we're going to be valuable citizens within our community to circulate it with all universally. Mm-hmm. And it's such a tool that's, and the misconception of money by some religious backgrounds, by some spiritual backgrounds, by some people that aren't educated about using money by adding value to other people and others' lives, right? It's wrong. But it's a wonderful tool when circulated, and it's a very tool that's not used correctly and can destroy it. I've seen people that I know, I've got friends that have a lot of money, and they're very unhappy. Mm-hmm. So it's a tool. It's a tool when used could make you happier, or it's a tool when used could make you very unhappy. What do you think about?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think it's all more in the mind frame of the person, how you use it, more so than that being a bad thing, like money itself being.
No,
it's like, it's. Yeah, I mean, if you don't know how to use it, and you have some addictions could come up if you know you. Yeah, you have, you have money, and you can use those, for that, yeah.
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 Yeah, well, one of the things that I try to preach through our broadcast is how we should join in with the community, and if we're going to benefit from the community, we should be the benefactors.
Exactly.
giving, make sure we're giving back as much as we take, but even maybe give back more than what we did receive, and the whole community becomes enriched.
I have given back as a single person over many years. I've counted about 40 different people between Alberta and BC on my own. I've had money. I've lost money. I've lost money in investment. I circulated money. I believe in tithing. I believe in giving. Mm-hmm. But I believe in giving to those who will respect. And I also love receiving money. For me to be here, or whatever it costs money to be here, for me to do anything, it costs money. But with healthy boundaries of how I circulate my money, that's what's important for me. With healthy boundaries of giving back my values and sharing my values, what money is given to me with other people, that's what's important. It's not about having the best of china or the countertop or whatever, right? Those things are important. What's important is the richness from within that I'm sharing with others.
I like how you use the word value in that statement, because that's really important, is the value.
Yeah, the value of money, the value of being kind with it, right? Not snobby, or the value of being friendly with it, that tool, right? It's such a valuable tool that when it's used in a valuable way, it enriches all society. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't enrich a part of society. And the same thing with friendship, with kindness, with acceptance of diversity, it's the value. And we, when we're adding value to ourselves and we're adding value to other people's lives, then we become valuable tools and people, and we create valuable societies within our own communities.
Right. Right, and that's... I'm actually going to toss in there. Our longevity isn't necessarily to do with this flesh and bone. It's to do with the spirit, right? And when we give value into the community, that spirit keeps living on and on.
I consider myself a spiritual being having a human existence. In so doing, I look at it. I've done a lot of inner work. I've done a lot of rebirthing, etc. Right, and I've met people, or I've been told, go down this road or do this, right, and there are always reasons, and they're valuable lessons that I learned. When I don't go down those roads, people would say, follow the yellow, I call it the yellow brick road, or follow whatever, right? Like, I would say, yes.
It's similar to what the Wizard of Oz is.
Thank you. And when people listen to your intuition by being present, right, and not worrying about, oh, well, what's going to happen, or ifs or shoulds or whatever, just do it.
Just follow it,
follow. Just, like, follow your intuition, be in the present.
Yeah, even though there's no, like, necessarily just saying, just go for it. There's no, like, you're not sure why, but you just follow it.
And when we don't do those things, we're devaluing ourselves, because we don't trust. And friendship, diversity, has a lot to do with how do we trust ourselves so we can have trusting, friendly relationships. And people do not trust themselves. They do not like themselves. One of the exercises we do is like, how many people could actually look at themselves in the mirror and say, I love, accept, and appreciate myself just the way I am. Mm. And when we could do those things, then we could love, trust, and accept people for who they are, and we could understand the diversity within our community, within individuals, and then we could add more value to our community. And that's what our book movement is about. That's what this book is about.
Right. That's a good thing to be about. A very good thing to be about.
Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's so much in life to be shared, and
And the contents of your movie in your book is it's simply wonderful that way. So you did say something else in there that I want to make sure that people actually get break this out. This is not a single book. This sounds like it's going to become a series of books as the movement grows.
As the movement grows, there are different books that we're writing. I'm almost finished writing the next one. I'm not going to give away the title because the title deals with this book, and it's about all of us. It's about all humans. The title, well, it's about if you're human, it's about you. If you're not human, then I'm sorry, but it's about you one way or the other. You will become humanized by reading the book. This book, it's about you've got to have friends. It's a book written in a very childlike manner for all ages because it deals with teaching the young, the old, whatever age it may be, about the value of being kind, the value of friendship, and the value of diversity. All of our books are very simple, but they're very complex, as deep as you want it to be. On our website, you'll see we have a lot of testimonials from around the world. And one of the testimonials that I love dearly is one person said, this book belongs on all coffee tables, because of the valuable lessons that we have. Our book is in all different continents, and we're doing a lot of the distribution on our own when we travel. Mm-hmm. Just the title itself and having creating that brand of diversity, of being friendly and kind, of having different people around the world, from Mexico to Zimbabwe to
Namibia,
Botswana, wow. Zambia, South Africa. Mm-hmm. Our book is in Guyana, throughout Canada, in the United States,
right.
In Mexico. We've done work in different schools, from private schools to public schools. So we're very diverse in what we do. And with our movement, right, we're there to make sure that we're a very diverse movement, but we're there to help and add value to all lives. All lives.
All right, so we're going to have to leave it there for just a moment. You guys hold on for a moment?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you tune into the Community Living Show on the NCRA radio stations. We will be back in a moment. You're tuned into the Community Living Show, on the NCRA stations, National Campus and Radio Association networks across Canada and across British Columbia. And we have our final segment. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, it sounds like the topic matter in the book is choking Kelly up here. So, Delbert, you brought along that poem. Did you say it actually did start to inspire the book? Can you read that for us right now?
Yeah. Well, the book itself is a poem. But in addition to that, right, I just want to... We're talking about diversity and acceptance of all and the value of friendship. And I wrote something which I'm going to put within the next book. And I call it I Am Who I Am. And that means individually, we are who we are.
Okay.
And it's I am who I am, so let me be me. I am who I am. I'm inspired to be the best I can be. I am who I am because I was chosen to be me. I am who I am, as bright, bold, and strong as could be. I am who I am, as healthy, honest, and happy as could be. I am who I am, a giver and a receiver as I choose to be. I am who I am, as beautiful as I could be. I am who I am, just like the universe chose and created me to be. I am who I am, therefore I peacefully live as I choose to be. I am who I am and grateful to be me. I am who I am, therefore I choose to be me. I am who I am, connected with all.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. And because of our inner movement, we are all connected. We are all different. Mm-hmm. And as individual, as I said earlier in this show, we're all individuals. Mm-hmm. We're all created to be who we are and not what we want people for us to be or choose to be. Let's all be who we truthfully are and can be. And I don't want to use the word coulds and shoulds. We've got to stop coulding and shoulding and just be who we are for who we were created to be.
Yeah.
Or even be like, you know, what you're, not what your family wants you to be, but who you truly are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Live your dreams. Let's be dream makers instead of dream takers. That's one of the characters in the book. Let's live from our hearts as opposed to the mind. One of my favorite quotes is, it's not about the time frame, it's about the mind frame. And when we change our minds to be living from our heart, from our hearts, as opposed to, oh, the time is this and the time is that. No, I think it's time that the world learn to accept all and be friendly. Let's take away the boundaries that we have, geographical, and some of the boundaries that restrict people to be who they truly are. Let's go within our families and let people be individuals as they were created to be. Let's live our dreams. Let's allow children to be who they are and let them live their dreams for who they are, what they want to do, and let them go through challenges. Let them challenge their challenges. Let's learn to love and accept and appreciate the differences and the honesty within ourselves, within our community. Let's break down the barriers of you should and you could and you will and you have to because of what has happened 20 years ago of doing things, of buying a house or not buying a house. What's important? What's really important is being kind and friendly to and with all for a better and friendlier place. Most important, smiles and laughter, people, make the world a lot friendlier place, right? And yeah. We have to realize the simple smile could change someone's life for an entire day. As we're doing our movement online, and it's like you've got to have friends.com or my name Delbert Anthony, you'll see different pictures of different people, and some of the followers that we have, they're saying, I look forward each day to see a different smile or the wonderful smiles that are out there on your post. And it's simple. We go up to, we talk to people, and it's like, yeah, we wrote a book. Would you like to have a picture with it? Or would you like to buy one? Or, you know what, would you like to be a part of our movement? And right. Our movement, it's just being kind and friendly to and with all, no matter what the diversity is.
Our theme song we used to play was Randy Newman called You Got a Friend in Me. So
yeah. If you're talking about songs, that song came out to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Toy Story.
Yeah. Yeah. Toy Story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always like playing that song.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Then a slow can came along.
Yeah.
People say, like, why did you write the book? And I already explained in the back of the book why I wrote the book. I choose to be friendly to and with all, from family to friends that don't accept or like me. That's their choice. Mm-hmm. But I unconditionally accept them, and I don't approve of their behaviors or their attitudes or whatever. But you know what? If I take my two pills a day, my forgiveness and gratitude pill, I unconditionally will be friendly and kind to and with all, because it makes me healthier. Mm-hmm. And at my age, human age, I choose to be as healthy, happy, and friendly and kind with all. And I wish the world would do the same for all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... Go ahead, Peter. He was like he had something to say something. Okay. Well, then I'm going to ask the loaded question, and I'm going to start with Peter. Then we'll get to you, Delper.
Sure. Yep.
What is the one thing out of your life so far that you are grateful for?
Hmm.
one thing I'm really grateful for right in my life. I feel like I have greater self-confidence in myself. I got more, over the past years with working with Delbert on myself, I learned to be a lot less codependent. I learned to be a lot more confident in myself. And just to be grateful for the food, everything, just the little things we take for granted. And going for that trip to Zimbabwe there, I went to the orphanage and these kids were so appreciative just to have a little bit of food, you know, and right. I was just like, wow. I was like, I'm appreciative. When I came back, I was like, I'm grateful for the food I have. I wasn't like, you know, I gotta have this or that. Like, it's good to have better, bigger and better things for yourself, but it's just like, just the basic things these kids did not have, and they were so appreciative. So I came back and I was like, I'm grateful for what I have. That was something, food, just food and water and, you know, the environment we have, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that a lot of people here in North America actually are grateful for just for the bounty of food.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, that's from my trip and from being with him that I just became a lot more grateful for just the basic things. Yeah, I know it's when you go from one place and you come back to there, it's like it's a big difference.
Yeah.
So same with me.
Yeah.
I mean, going to Zambia and helping to do the build and learning their culture and their food and stuff is extraordinary.
Yeah. I am grateful for my present precious moment, and each present precious moment gives me more gratitude to be grateful for all my desires that I have in life. So, yeah, I'm always grateful. That's my number one gratitude for this. Because I always say the past is the past. My present is my precious present. And my future is yet to be revealed. So every precious present I have, is my number one I'm grateful for every present, and it has nothing to do with all the presents that I may have, but those presents I may have in that precious present, like being here, I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for my health, but being present and being in the present, to know that I'm connected with all, is my best present ever. To survive and to be me, it's my greatest present for me.
That's fantastic.
The present is a great thing to be grateful for when you appreciate it. I've learned that myself, to really appreciate the present. It is a gift, like, you know, the saying goes, right? But it totally is.
I think we as individuals, as humans, we're so worried about, we've got to have this, we've got to have that, we've got to compete against the Joneses or whatever, and if we don't, right, and we forget that all that really matters is the present, because we may not be around to enjoy those presents that we're dreaming about in the present, and the present is just such a precious present. Living through lack and delay and poverty and being homeless on many occasions, right? I've realized that those are all lessons that I've learned, but most important, I am so grateful for the roof over my head, the money in my pocket, and the lessons I've learned. And no money could buy those, my precious present, none. No money, no people, no situations or circumstance, because it's such an individual thing to be in the present and appreciate our present as our precious present for me. And I think when we do a lot of work in our movement and when we do talks and whatever, we really push those things for people. We really push that the present is our precious present.
Yeah.
And that's where the forgiveness, you've got to learn to forgive and let go of the past so that you can really be kind and friendly with who we are as individuals, and then we can be kind and friendly to and for and with all in the future. And it's because acknowledging what the present is, and loving ourselves and loving people. But if we don't do that right, you'll never be happy. I know people that have millions and they're not happy because they're worried that they may lose it. They worry about how many people are going around saying, oh, what do you have for retirement, right? How do you know you're going to be around? Mm-hmm. How do you know? Why not enjoy the present?
So the book is called You've Got to Have Friends. So it's available on every bookstore?
It's available. You could on our website, which is youvegottohavefriends.com.
Okay.
And if you're in Vancouver, you can go to our website and etc. We could get you a book signed copy. We'd rather sell it signed. And it's also available on Amazon, but the printing of it in Amazon is somewhat different. But on our website, you can order it from us. Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
So, besides the book, how do they get a contact of you and get a chance?
Best way to find
you. For more information.
Yeah, I do have the website, as I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if anybody wants, I'm out there to people, and I do have
social media or anything.
We have Instagram, yeah. We have You Gotta Have Friends on Instagram. Okay. It'll say his name, Delbert Anthony, on there too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we also have email?
friendsinkindness@icloud.com.
All right.
Yeah.
friendsinkindness@icloud.
Yeah,
it fits.
Yeah.
It fits.
It's simple.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah,
awesome.
For joining us. And please, you have any comments or questions about our show, please email us. Email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. Thank you for all of you coming. Do you have a show next week?
I'm not exactly who we will have for next week as yet.
Okay. Stay tuned.
With that being said, if you have a show idea, you can actually get a hold of me directly via phone if you call 778-389-6948 and let's talk about a show.
Yeah.
So
sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So we are okay, Community Living Show is on 3 stations and 1 NCRA stations. The one you're hearing now is on Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, which is in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We broadcast every Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m. from our website, cooprio.org. Check them out as well. We're on there as well. On Tuesdays, we're on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at citr.ca. Of course, we broadcast them on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 o'clock. And on Thursdays in Nanaimo, we have a Nanaimo station, CHLY 101.9 FM. Not 101.9, 101.